Again, the theme we've seen in our study here of the heroes of faith is by faith, something happened. By faith, something was accomplished. By faith, obedience came, we saw with Noah, Abraham. By faith, he obeyed. He sojourned. He went to a place that he didn't know where he was going, but he knew he was following the Lord. By faith, Sarah received strength. So we saw she received strength to conceive a child. On and on we go. And we left off in our last study, and I know it was a few weeks ago, but our last study, which was such an important study. By faith, Abraham was tested. There's a great test, probably the greatest test that any human being could go through, and that was to offer his own son, Isaac, up on the altar. We looked at that. And I know that it touched many of our lives. That message really spoke to us. Hopefully it still is. The testings of God through faith. And praise God that Abraham passed the test. Then he walked and he did what was right. We pick it up in verse 20 with that phrase again, by faith. Now, if I was out to outline our study here tonight, it would be verses 20 through 22, which would be spoken out in faith. Spoken out in faith. Verses 20 through 22. These men, as we're going to see, these patriarchs here that we're going to look at, spoke out in faith. We're going to see what that means. And then in verses 23 there, through verse 31, which I don't know if we will get to, and I will do my best, but I warn you in the start, stepped out in faith. So they stepped out in faith. And we'll see each of these people here, or groups of people, made great steps out in faith. So some spoke out in faith, and others stepped out in faith. And I think it's important for us to see that and understand. Because we need to be those kinds of people, don't we? We need to be those kinds of people that will speak out when the Lord is making it very clear. But it's going to take faith to speak out in faith. To pronounce truth. To pronounce blessing. And then, very clearly, there's going to be times we need to step out in faith. Verse 20, it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And I'm just going to try to kind of put this all in one section here. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. And by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. So three main people that spoke out in faith, and that would be Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. So we've already looked at Abraham, and there's our patriarchs right there. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we see here Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. All of these men had something in common. They all spoke out in faith at the end of their lives, which is interesting. All of them at the end of their lives. All of them right before they're ready to die. And that interests me, and the reason it interests me is because at the end of their lives, they spoke out in faith. These were men that we could go back into the book of Genesis, and we're still in the book of Genesis, and really, this closes out Genesis in a sense, his systematic study here of the book of Genesis, and we'll move into Exodus in verse 23. But in Genesis, we find these men, and all of them had something in common, that they spoke out in faith at the end of their lives. Now, I want to say this. When they finally spoke out in faith, I think it's sometimes more dangerous to speak out in faith than to step out in faith. Because they're two different things for sure. When we talk about speaking out in faith, we're talking about prophetic words at times. Saying things that are not yet seen, at least in this context. Saying things that are not yet seen. Saying things that we don't yet know about. But there's something within us, the Lord, that we sense that is of Him. And there takes, without a doubt, an element of faith to speak it out. But after we spoke it out, it's only going to be a matter of time, or it's going to take a matter of time for us to know if that came to pass. And for them, it was at the end of their life. They never really knew on this earth, in this earth, if that truly came to pass. So it's a very risky thing to speak out in faith. Now, it's not risky to speak out in faith in things concerning the gospel. Meaning, you don't need to speak about the future to speak out in faith. You can clearly speak out in faith the truth of God's word. By faith, I'm going to speak this. Because by faith, I believe that without faith, it's impossible to be saved. And what Paul says in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm going to speak out in faith the word of God. You're always safe there. But that's going to take an element of faith, isn't it? Go up to someone. Sit down with them. The Lord's laid some things on your heart. Maybe a direction in God's word. Some certain passages of God's word. And you're going to begin to share the gospel with them. That's going to take faith. But you need to be those, I need to be that, that stands up with confidence and speaks out. We need to be those kind of people. There will never be those great men and women of God in our church if they are men and women that will not speak out the word of God by faith. We will never be used by the Lord. And you only become, in a sense, great. None of us are really great. But you only become, in a sense, known, a hero of faith like these, because God is great. And you avail yourself to the greatness of God. And you be used by God in manners and ways where God is glorified. People being saved. That's a great thing. And that glorifies the greatness of God. And God begins to use your life, and it's something that later on in history, if you would, or later on as time goes on, you begin to be known of someone that God has been using in a great way, and it brings glory to the Lord as long as there's not arrogance and pride in you. And I would suggest that if there is, God usually will put you on the shelf, and that greatness will fade away quickly, because when you think it's you, then forget about it. But I'm talking about a holy greatness. I'm talking about a biblical and humble greatness where God begins to use your life. And if tonight you're in a place where you don't want to be great for the Lord, not great in yourself, but you don't want to be someone that's used by God, then I believe that there's something wrong with that. That we ought to examine our hearts. You don't want God to be glorified? You don't want God to use your life, then why are you alive? Well, what is the reason you exist? And without a doubt, all of us have different giftings and callings on our life, but regardless, we ought to desire that God would be greatly glorified in our lives and His greatness would be seen by the world through us. Or why should we live? Take me to heaven. You know, what's the purpose of this life? When that means that we're going to have to be those that walk in holiness, those that walk close to the Lord. And some of us are wasting our time living a life that isn't glorifying to God and living a life that is caught up in this world. And we know that. And even at this moment, we find ourselves convicted at hearing this, saying, yeah, I want to be great, but I know that I'm not being used greatly by God. But you're not doing anything about it. And we need to be those that by faith begin to say, hey, I'm going to begin to speak forth the word of God. I'm going to begin to speak forth the things of God. Here we find that it was Isaac who blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So Isaac spoke prophetically about blessing. He spoke of things to come in their lives. So we see clearly here it's about something to come. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And so then there's the story, again, the Isaac story there is from Genesis chapter 27. And then here in Genesis 48, we find the story there of the blessing that came by Jacob to Joseph's two boys. Now, it is interesting here. It says, as he worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. You know, just an interesting, kind of a funny story. I was talking with Pastor Drew as we were in Turkey just a few months ago. And he says he's there with his cane. Why does he have a cane? Because you know the story how he broke his foot trying to be, you know, minister to the kids in England. And he's riding his skateboard and they are saying, let's go down this ramp. He's looking at this ramp thinking, I'm going to die if I go down that ramp. There's no way I'm going down that ramp. So the guys leave, the kids, they go to something else there at the skate park. And he decides, I'm going to do it. And he does it and he shouldn't have done it. It was God saying, you can't, you're going to die if you go down that ramp. So he broke his leg pretty bad. Well, he had had his cast off, but he had a cane because he was really, you know, still having problems walking. And he really felt bad, you know, going to preach with his cane. It just kind of feels shameful a little bit. Here's this young guy walking around with a cane, you know, trying to pastor the church. And he said, and then I read this. I read this here. He worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. And so he said, every time I was there in church and we stood up and I worshiped leaning on the top of my staff. Felt like one of the great patriarchs. You know, I love it. But here we have Jacob here. And in the Genesis text, it says that he sat up in his bed. And most commentators believe that he sat up in his bed and he leaned on the top of his staff, maybe there on the edge of his bed as he was dying, and he blessed here the sons of Joseph. And then it says, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention. Now think about this. And all of these are prophetic. You could go back and look at them and you can see what was said about the kids when the blessings came. And then you can follow the story through the scriptures and find that these things came to pass. These things were true. So very prophetic words that were given. He says in verse 22 here, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel. An incredible prophecy. Here's Joseph. Children of Israel, not in slavery. They're there in Egypt, and Joseph dies, and slavery is about to come. And Joseph speaks that one day you're going to be enslaved here, and you're going to leave. And when you leave, take my bones with you into the promised land. Very prophetical, which was spoken here. What I want to say about dying and age, I really believe that those true prophetical words many times will come from those saints that have walked with the Lord for many years. Now, I'm not saying that God can't give you a word of prophecy as a young believer. I've received them, I've seen them, but we need to be careful. We need to be really careful of using the phrase that God told me. Well, God told me to tell you, and on we go. Or God said to me to go do this or that. I'm not saying that we can never say that. I'm not saying God won't speak to our lives. I would never say that. For God does speak. God does lead. And God, I believe, does give us direction prophetically in our lives at times. Especially when you get into people that are going to the mission field and taking great risk and going and doing great, they really need to know that this is the Lord. And I don't believe only in that setting, but especially in that setting. So God does speak, but I think that as you walk with the Lord, you begin to learn to know what's the Lord's voice and what isn't. How many things as a young believer I thought God spoke, and I found out I was just real excited about something. And I read a verse and, hey, that fits perfectly. And it logically lines up and it must be God. And you begin to go off. And I watch it as a pastor. And I've seen so many young, zealous people. And God is speaking to them in their first few years of their walk with God. Like every day, if you listen to what they're saying. And then as they grow, they begin to kind of filter out a lot of that. And when God does speak to them, it's a rare thing. What is it? Have they been quenched? No, they've wised up a little, I believe. They've learned to hear the voice of the Lord. And it's something that needs to be learned. And it's something to be treated with reverence. And it's something we ought to be very, very careful with as we say, God spoke to me. But you know, there's a real blessing here. Notice that most of the words, the first two here, are blessings. And they're from fathers that are about to die. Dads, I just want to say a quick word to you about blessings. Bless your children in the name of the Lord. Seek the Lord for them. And as God, don't make it up, don't find it, but as God gives you a word of blessing, speak it over them. As your kids grow, and for some, most of us, our kids are still young. Well, be praying, because as you're walking with the Lord and you're growing and being a dad, and you dads know how that's got to grow you in the Lord real quick. We wish it'd be quicker, but it grows you, it stretches you. But as you do, when they're young, seek the Lord. God, give me a word for them when they're about to go into junior high. Give me a word for them, Lord, when they're going into high school, when they're beginning to, you know, want to date, when they're thinking about after they graduate where to go, what marriage, you know, all of those things. Seek the Lord. I think of the most righteous man on the planet Earth at a time, his name was Job. And he prayed for his kids. He's a father. He's a dad. He's a male. He prayed for those kids. He brought sacrifices to the Lord for those kids. He believed in God for those kids. And fathers need to believe in God for their kids. That their kids are going to walk with God and that they're leading those children. And that there's a time that comes where there's a need for dad to speak a blessing, a spiritual blessing over that child. And that's going to take faith. Parents, whether you're a dad or a mom, we need to be parents of faith for our kids. We need to believe in the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. And we need to believe that God is going to keep our kids as we do our best to love them, shepherd them, lead them in the things of God. We know ultimately it's in the hand of the Lord. We know ultimately they're going to grow up and this world is only getting more and more dark and wicked. And there's a lot of fear in our hearts what might happen to our children as they grow. We need to believe in the Lord. And we need at times by faith to speak into their lives. But that's going to take, I think, some years. And it's going to take a time of seeking the Lord. And it's going to take a time of walking with the Lord. And we need to do that. You don't become a great man or woman of God overnight. You become a great man or woman of God, a great man or woman of faith, and hear the word, consistent, persistent, seeking the Lord. Day after day, walking with the Lord. Keeping yourself from sin, keeping yourself close to Him. And that all comes by faith. Our whole walk is built on faith. As we saw in verse 6, it's impossible to please God without faith. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seeking the Lord each and every day. Year after year, it's going to bring us. And you know, we're young. A lot of us are really young. Some of us are a little older than that. And I didn't say you're old. A little older than young. Than 20. And wherever we are, we all know that. And the older we are, the more we realize it takes time. But you know, for so those of you that are in your teens, that are in your 20s, that are even in your 30s and 40s, what are you going to be? And those of you, you know, that are 20 today, if the Lord so tarries and allows you to live until you're 60, what kind of Christian are you going to be? Think of it. 40 years of walking with God, I think of the great heroes of faith that could be here today. If we would but simply seek Him diligently, consistently, walk with Him. What kind of kids will come out of a family like that? Some of you don't have any kids. Some of you aren't even married. Those days are coming. You need faith for that too. You say, yeah, I hope so. Those days are coming. Life is going to come upon you, and these things are just a matter of time. And we're all in different places. And some of us today here could say, well, I've got grandkids. And some of us could say, I don't have any kids. I don't even have a husband or a wife. And we're all in different places. But we all know this. All these things apply to every one of us. And you can't look back and say, well, I'm already 60. And I wish I would have when I was 20. And you should tell that to the 20-year-olds around you and encourage them. But you know what? Your life it's not over. Do you know what God can do? Do you know what God can do in 10 years? Do you know what God can do if you'd but consistently seek His face, draw near to Him? I pray you do. I pray you hear that word. Because the Lord is, you know, just begun in our church. As I go out, you know, as I talk with pastors that are twice my age, that were when they were my age, they were where we are as a church. I am as a pastor. And I talk to, and I see what God has done in their lives, and I sense the depth in them that I long for, and the maturity and the year, just the wisdom. And when they pray, the humility and the realness and the closeness with the Lord. And the Lord reminds me, He encourages my heart and says, I have just begun a work. And you know, as I talk with them, especially being at a missions conference this week, and I talk with so many of them, and they ask how old I am, and they ask how long we've been a fellowship. And I tell them, and you know, they usually ask, how many people do you have? And these kinds of things. And I just tell them, you know, we're in the Calvary movement, we're a small Calvary chapel. And so, you know, I tell them, and then they ask, you know, at a missions conference, so what kind of missions are you guys doing? What are you involved in? And I begin to share about the missionaries. And then, you know, one of the most common questions is, well, how many of those missionaries are homegrown? Homegrown means, are they from your church? Because most churches are supporting missionaries that aren't really from their body. And I say, well, all of them basically are from our church. And they ask, then that's when the question, well, how long have you been at church? Maybe I took the church over from like my dad or something, they think. You know. And I tell them, oh, we've really only been an official Calvary Chapel Sunday morning fellowship for about 8 years. And you know, they speak in a mind and they say, you don't realize how much God is doing in such a small church, but it's doing such great things. And a guy prayed for me last night who I just met, this gentleman that hopefully I'm going to get him out here to speak. He's been working in the Muslim 1040 window for several years and has got a heart, and he wants to take anyone that wants to go in. He actually says, right now there's a school, they need an English teacher. And he's talking about Yemen and getting into all these places and just, you know, stirring my heart up more than it probably should be. And, you know, he's praying for me last night as we were in a time of afterglow. And as he's praying for me, he prayed this. And I've heard it so many times. I don't see it because I'm here. We're here. This is all we know. This is all we see, our fellowship. And he prays for me. He says, Lord, I pray for Trent and his fellowship. Such a small body of believers, but are doing such big things. And church, I don't know if you realize it, but we, and it's not us, we know it's got nothing to do with us. I look around right now and I just think, there's future missionaries out here, and I'm looking, I can't find them. But then I look at our missionaries and I go, oh, they're all over. What I'm saying is, it's not us. It's not, oh, that's a great, that person would be really good. It's like we're all a bunch of fools. You know, and that's God's chosen the foolish things of the world. And you don't realize that God is doing great things and is stunning people. Young church. I mean, we're not the most, financially prosperous church in the world, especially in Orange County. We're in a very financially prosperous county, but you look at the, you know, salaries of the people in our church, and You know, most of them are in college. Salaries aren't that big there. You know, and so when you think of mobilizing for missions and finances and, you know, and talk to them about finances and just people are amazed. And it's God. And God is doing great and mighty and awesome things. But as I sit back and I think about it, as I talk with a pastor that's been in the pulpit for 20, 30 years in his church and realizing that really our church is doing more in the area of missions. And again, no glory to us at all. It's been God from the beginning and it's been God to this point. Hopefully it's going to be God until the end. And if it's not, I'm going to leave. You know, but to realize, honestly, there's far more missionaries that are on the field through the payroll of our church than there are in these churches that are 100 times the size of ours. Thousands of people. Been around for 20 years. And they're just catching the vision for missions. And I sit back and I go, God is doing such a work, but you know what it's going to take? It's going to take men and women that will speak out in faith. It will. It is. People that are willing to speak forth that word when they know it's the Lord into that person's life or in an afterglow. People that are willing to open their mouth and preach the gospel wherever they are and whatever they're doing. And people like that are used by God. People like that become people like we find in chapter 11, people that by faith they spoke. They spoke. I can tell you right now, every one of us tonight by faith can confidently speak of things to come. It's found in the Word. Heaven. Judgment. The tribulation. The judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne judgment. The abyss, hell, the lake of fire. These things, as we preach the gospel, we can speak of them, but it's going to take faith to sit down with someone and to begin to speak to them about them and about the judgment coming if they don't receive the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ as He died for them on the cross. And church, you know, our church used to be far more evangelistic than it is now. And I can say that because I've been here. We have become comfortable. Now, I'm not saying everyone. There are definitely people in our church that are evangelizing. And, you know, you can say, I'm not really gifted. And listen, let me tell you, in the early days, it wasn't an issue of gifting. It was an issue of necessity. I'm not really a gifted evangelist by any stretch of the word. But there's a necessity. A necessity. And I'm not talking about amongst us saved people. I'm talking about amongst the people you work with, the people you're at school with, the people that you see, the people that you come in contact with in whatever arena that might be. Evangelism. To open your mouth and speak out the Word of God by faith. It's going to take faith. It's going to take courage. And that courage is going to come by, okay, God, I'm just going to believe You're going to help me because I don't know what I'm doing. And You're going to strengthen me. You're going to empower me. Your Word says You will. And here I go. I step out and I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to speak out Your Word that You've put in my heart. Church, how so desperately we need to be revived in that. But I want to tell you, what's the root? Faith. When your heart begins to get filled with a vision of God, you begin to see Him. When your heart begins to get filled with faith, you find that you begin to speak. And you're going to find people are going to get saved. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to strengthen your faith. And it's without a doubt going to encourage your heart. It's going to encourage you and stir you up because you're going to watch God use you. And there's nothing better than taking a person you lead to Christ and beginning to disciple them. There's nothing better for your walk. But it starts with by faith. By faith, going on, verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Church, by faith, we need to not only speak out in faith, we need to step out in faith. And here we start that section of stepping out in faith. Oh, how desperately we need to step out in faith. And speaking out in faith is going to take a step of faith, isn't it? Stepping out in faith. I wish we could just advance, if you would, like a movie reel. And say, where are we going to be in 3 years? And we had it up on the screen. If today we don't decide to step out in faith in our life. And then we could do where we would be in 3 years if we decide today to step out in faith in our life. Wow. I can guarantee you there would be no one in here that would say, I don't want to step out in faith. Now, let me clarify that, because we might look in 3 years and go, because I stepped out in faith, this happened to me. And this happened, and that trial, and that suffering, and because they will. So maybe we should probably say at the end of our life, when we stand before the Lord, if we decide today to step out in faith, it's stepping out in faith isn't an easy road. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. It's not this smooth life of, you know, being filled with the Spirit of God and just this power and peace and just flowing through you, and you never struggle and you never even are tempted with sin, or you don't ever have trials. Your heart's never broken. You're just filled with just the Lord in that context of what we think. We think of blessing. Oh, you'll be filled with the Lord. I find that I'm way more filled with the Lord when I'm suffering and when I'm looking to the Lord and I'm believing in Him. And I find that's when I understand what Paul says about peace that surpasses all understanding. I shouldn't be peaceful right now. I shouldn't have joy in the midst of this trial, but I've considered it joy, knowing that God is doing a work. And how do you know that? By faith. Hey, without faith, you couldn't know that. You wouldn't believe that. You don't see the work happening. You don't go, God's doing a work and this is what He's doing. You just know God's doing a work because His Word says it, because you believe in Him. You don't see what He's doing. But you know what? Years down the road, you're going to see. And the problem is we live these defeated Christian lives and we don't see it with our physical eyes, and we don't have faith, and therefore we fall on our face, and God gets us back up, and then we do it again and fall on our face, and we get burnt out. We get burnt out on the Lord. We get burnt out on Christianity. We get burnt out on this whole thing, especially for those that are on the front lines. Boy, missionaries without faith, ministers without faith, those of us that are saying we're going to preach the gospel without faith, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get people that you think love you, they're going to hurt you, and things are going to be said about you, and the enemy's going to come against you in all kinds of ways you don't know. Those of you that are married, your marriages are going to be attacked, your kids are going to be attacked, your life is going to be attacked. In every area that the enemy can get you, he's going to get you. He's going to try to bring you down. And the only thing that's going to do anything is that when we have faith, we make it through the trial victoriously. We begin to see as God sees. We don't walk by sight, but by faith. We please Him because by faith, we believe that He's God in the midst of our trial and that God is going to somehow work this out. And He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And those that diligently seek the Lord in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the heat, by faith, find that as their life goes on, they're deeper with the Lord. There's a blessing upon them. Church, I don't know how to communicate to us in a way that is strong enough how desperately we need to open our eyes and see, we are not a people of faith. We can say, well, look at you know what we're doing. Look at what, and again, what the Lord's doing. And yeah, there's spurts of faith. But look at our everyday life. Look at it. You don't need to look at your neighbors. Look at yours. Look at our lack of an absolute dependence on God. Look at how much we murmur and complain, worry and fret. Why? Because we don't have faith. If we were those greats of faith, we wouldn't be complaining. We wouldn't be questioning the Lord. We would be seeking the Lord. And when everything seems so confusing and so cloudy, we would be believing in God with everything we have because we can't see anything. Knowing that He's working this out for His good, because I love Him. Because I'm called according to His purpose. We would be those that allow the Lord to work in our lives. That's what Moses' parents did. They were a couple that stepped out in faith with their child's life. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Faith causes fear to flee. The lack of faith brings in a great terror. Understand that. Faith causes fear to dissipate. Faith pushes fear out. But without faith, you're only left with fear. Because faith is what gets me through those times of terror. Not being terrified. Because my God is in control. Because my God is greater than those people. Than the king. Than this situation. And we know the commandment came and the king said, kill all of the Hebrew boys. Kill them all. That was the commandment. And by faith, Moses' parents said no. And they hid the child there for 3 months. And it says there, by faith Moses, when he became of age, and you know, it goes on, hid the child, and then as we, most of us hopefully know the story, is they put the child into the reeds and Pharaoh's daughter came by and got the child. And just God's sovereign hand in Moses' life. He's now realize this, because of the step of faith the parents took, even from putting the child into the reeds there, into this little basket, they saw the hand of the Lord. All the Hebrew male child were dead of Moses' generation. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household. Moses' mom was called upon to be the nurse, to nurse the infant Moses when he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter paid Moses' mom to nurse the child. She hired her. And you just look and you step and ask parents, after taking that step of faith, what is their reward? The reward is God. Look at what He's done. Look how He worked this out. We could have just given in and submitted and the child would have been dead. But we were moved and God intervened. And God did something incredible as they're sitting back and they're watching this unfold. And again, so much here that we could get into. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age. So that's verse 23 is the faith of Moses' parents. Verse 24, and I want to say that the children do follow the parents. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Wow, that's what faith does. Moses, as he grew and he became of age, realized who he was a Hebrew, began to understand, and the book of Exodus doesn't fill in all of the details that I'd wish it would have. In fact, the author of Hebrews gives me even more details than it does. It says here he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So there was some time that he refused. We only know that in Exodus 2, where the story is recorded for us, there in Exodus 2, you know, let me just read it to you. Exodus chapter 2, there's one phrase that's on my heart. Exodus chapter 2, Verse 11, now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their bondage. That's really all we have of what the author of Hebrews is telling us. He now, when he became of age, he went out and he saw what was happening to his people. And he began to realize it. Back to the text. So he refused, at some point there, he refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose rather, watch this, to suffer. Faith will cause you to do things that aren't naturally logical. And I'm not saying that you're doing dumb things. Okay? And I want to make that real clear because I think some of us need to hear that. That we just go off and do things because they're crazy and we think that that's godly. Not necessarily by any means. God has clearly given you wisdom. But here there are things that are contrary to the Word of God. And that's what we're talking about here. Abusing people. Using people as slaves. This is contrary to the love and the compassion and mercy of the Father. God's people being abused by the Egyptians. Moses sees this. Well, he's in a sense an Egyptian. Raised an Egyptian. But in his blood, he's a Hebrew. And he has a choice to make. I can stay here in the blessings of this palace. He had everything he wanted. He could have had some of those Hebrew slaves. He could have hardened his heart and gone on. But he chose rather, watch this, to suffer affliction with the people of God than the passing pleasures of sin. Wow. And that would take faith, wouldn't it? It would take faith to step out of the palace and step in with the slaves. He says, I can stay here and live in the, watch this, and understand the context of Hebrews chapter 11 here. Faith, remember we talked about heaven, looking for a homeland, living for something that you can't see with your physical eye. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And look at Moses here. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, chose rather, verse 25, to suffer affliction with the people of God. I'd rather suffer and be with the people of God than enjoy for a moment satisfaction of my own flesh with the world. That takes faith, doesn't it? And every one of us, every single day, have to make that choice. To be a Christian means death to self and life to God, doesn't it? Well, Jesus said, you want to follow me? Okay, you got to die. We've got to die. And here's one point where we have to die daily at, and that is sin. The world saying, why don't you come and partake here in our palace? And look at it. It's so beautiful. And look at Egypt. It's so grand. It's so wonderful. It's so beautiful. The passing pleasures of sin seem to be so right and so good. And they're going to satisfy us. And they're coming at you. And they're assaulting you. And they're calling to you. And would you rather worship God in the sanctuary and go through a Bible study that seems like sometimes it's an eternal Bible study? Would you rather do that or tonight go and just fill your flesh with whatever it desires? What seems more fun? But we know, and I would suggest tonight you're here by faith. You're here believing God wants to speak to your heart. You're here believing that you need this desperately. And I want to tell you, you're right. You do. And I do. And we gather tonight with the people of God. And we might even suffer. Some of us might suffer to some small degree persecution from friends or family. Just criticism. Why? Maybe someone wanted to go somewhere tonight with you. Maybe there was some event. You said, I'm going to church. Church? Thursday night. Don't you do that on Sunday? Do you always have to go to church? And it's not that you have to. It's you want to. Because you've made a choice in your life to serve God and not your flesh. And I want to tell you, it's not just coming to church that's serving God. We're not serving God here. We're learning of the things of God. We're being equipped for the work that God has called us to. We're fellowshipping with one another and coming together to be refreshed and reminded and to be taught and to be encouraged in the things of the Lord. But real Christianity isn't here, is it? Real Christianity is out there in the world, but not being a partaker of the world. How many of us tonight would say, you know what? Though when I'm in the midst of that temptation, when I'm in that group of people, when I'm in the midst of those things, how I feel like it would be so right for me to partake, it's going to take at that point faith. Faith to refuse. I'm not going to live in the house of Pharaoh. I've chosen to live in the house of God. And again, that's the difference between the presence of the world, the things of the world, or the presence of God. I've chosen to live in the things of God. And I'm going to refuse. And I'd rather suffer at times. And let me tell you, denying temptation is suffering. You know how you get out of it? Give into it. When you give into temptation, that battle ceases. Then another one starts. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. And condemnation comes not from the Holy Spirit, but comes from it, and guilt, and many times reaping what you've sown, and your life ends up as a miserable wreck. But it's in that moment, it says, no, I believe that that will hurt me. God said it. I believe that will destroy me. And I will not. I'd refuse that. And I'm going to instead choose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the passing, and the word passing is that the temporary pleasures of sin. And oh, how temporary they are and what death they bring. Verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. This was Moses. Greater riches than the treasures of or in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. Here's the key to faith. Faith isn't just hoping and believing with nothing in its scope. Faith is hoping and believing with a clear, defined goal at the end. Faith is looking to the reward. Because God rewards those who diligently seek Him, and you can only do that by faith. Looking to the reward. Listen, God will reward me if I do not let my flesh rule me right now. There's going to be a reward. And I want to tell you what a reward it is. When the sin is passed and hasn't passed through you. When the temptation is passed. When you've fought the good fight. When you've stayed strong. When you by faith refused it. What a reward there is. There's no greater reward presently and almost immediately than saying, I'm walking with Jesus. Victory. I had victory over that temptation. There is great reward there. But you know, that's not it. There's greater reward to come. And that's just a taste. There's nothing like when you want to speak out in faith. There's nothing like speaking out in faith when you're walking in faith. When you're pure, when your life is pure before God, there is such a confidence, such a boldness, such an ability to say, God is right and I am wrong and you are wrong and we need to look to Him. It's so simple. It really is. We know it. I think for the majority of us, if we're born again here tonight, we agree with that. We say, amen, you're right. Every time I sin, I'm miserable. How many of you live in sin and love it and just think we all should join you? I mean, how many of us really, when we fall into temptation, go, that's pleasurable? No, it's passing and it passes quickly. And it's gone. And then we're left with the destruction and the misery and the death and the pain and the hurt. And it's hurtful. It's destructive. But how many of us would stand up tonight and say, church, walk in purity and holiness before the Lord, and you'll find great reward. Great reward. I quoted it to you. It's a verse that I've been meditating through and really thinking through, and it's Proverbs 14:14. It says, the backslider in her heart will be filled with his own way. And I've just been reading through the Proverbs in my devotions, and the backslider in her heart will be filled with his own way. And I just think, man, isn't that true? Just filled with your sin. So go get your sin, and you're filled with it. And you're filled with this sin. And it's so good when it goes in, but once it gets in, it just turns into poison. And you're just filled with death and destruction. And the backslider of heart will be filled with his own way. Every time you backslide in heart, you're going to be filled with it. But then it says, but the good man, the man that loves righteousness and holiness and goodness, but the good man will be satisfied from above. And the word satisfied and filled go together. The good man won't be satisfied or filled with his own way, which ultimately won't be satisfying, satisfactory for a moment, and then it passes and you're filled with destruction and corruption. But the good man will be satisfied from above. And there's no satisfaction like walking with God. Getting up, going out in the day, and just having that confidence of God. Just the holiness of God upon you. The victory of God in your life. And someone comes to you, and they're an unbeliever. And man, the ability and the confidence just to tell them about your God. Because you know Him, and you love Him, and you believe Him, and He's changed you, and there's life in you. It's not just some religion, some thing written in a book. It's life. Or when it's a believer that's struggling, that you can come alongside of them and you can say to that believer, God is good. Let me tell you, God will deliver you from that sin because I've been where you are and I'm now not where you are. You can say that. I'm now here. God has done a work in my life. God has enabled me and God will strengthen you to conquer that sin that's set before you that's beseeching your life. And just the life of God flows. And so there is suffering for a time, but what reward comes when it's all said and done? And then ultimately to hear those great words, enter in my good and faithful servant. By faith he forsook Egypt, verse 27, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Again, faith, that eye of faith we talked about. We saw it at the end of verse 26, looking to the reward by faith. Here we see seeing him who is invisible. By faith, Moses, after he killed a man, really blew it, tried to take up his calling in his own hands, he had to flee from Egypt. And it says here, by faith he fled. I love that. You know why? Because right after he blew it and sinned, he then turned back to the Lord and said, now what do I do, Lord? And the Lord says, go. I know that because right here it says by faith. So in faith to God, that God's saying go, he flees Egypt. Now he flees out into the middle of nowhere. He doesn't know where he's going. By faith, he flees Egypt. It says, not fearing the wrath of the king. Again, notice that faith causes fear to flee. Faith causes fear to flee. That is so important. Think about if there was a death sentence on your life. Someone was out to kill you. Ordered by the king. Think about it. If you think you'd be a little scared. And it was faith in God. That God's hand is upon me. And know this, church. Your time is not up until God says it's up. By faith, there can be such a rest and a peace upon your life. Those great heroes of faith, they understood that, they lived by that, and that's how they went on in their lives, in peace, in the midst of very hard times. You think of missionaries. Missionaries like, oh, Rob shares today about Joe. You know, there's robbers, and they're being caught, and they're, you know, there's such corruption and deception in their life, and he's got his kids there. And what do you do? Do you hide out in your house there in a refugee camp? With, you know, you have a few armed guards outside, and you've got a, you know, electric fence, and in that house you've got this thing we built called a safe room with bulletproof doors, and you go in there and you just hide out and you just kind of lock yourself in the safe room all night and just fear and waiting to hear the gunshots and just live in terror? Or do you, by faith, let that fear flee? You do the wise things. I mean, Moses didn't say, well, by faith, God's, you know, my day's not up until it's up, so I'm going to sit here in the middle square in Egypt. No, he fled. He left. He ran for his life. But in running for his life, in doing what was right, what the Lord was showing him to do, he did it by faith. And that faith caused the fear to leave. And God directed him out to the desert. And again, the story goes on there in chapter 2 of Exodus. And 40 years pass. He comes back into the land and God raises him up and all these plagues happen. And the last one, verse 28, says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. God gave him a word. God said, I'm going to destroy every firstborn son in every house in Egypt unless you sacrifice a lamb and you put the blood on the top of the door and on the two sides of the doorpost and you stay in that house. And the angel of the Lord's coming and every house that doesn't have the blood on it is going to be destroyed. And so by faith, they did this. You can say, come on, God's good. Do I really need to kill the lamb? Get the blood, put it on. You got to go through all the ceremonial things. Isn't God bigger than that? God said that's how it's going to happen. And so by faith, they believed in God, and they did that just like you and I. By faith, believe in the blood of Jesus to atone for our sins. Maybe there's some of you today, tonight, that are doubting the Word of God. Maybe some of you are doubting your salvation. You've repented of your sins. You've believed at times in the Word of God. You believe that the only way to heaven is through the blood of Jesus. You believed on the cross. He said it's finished and all this. But what if it's not true? What if it doesn't work? What? And you begin to wrestle through. And let me tell you, anybody that really pursues the Lord at some point in their life is going to have times of doubt. That's one of the enemy's tactics. And what are you to do? I'll tell you what to do. By faith, believe in the blood of Jesus. It's going to get you through this time. That you believe. And again, there's things that I can study, and I do, in times like that. Wrestle through issues and look and learn and grow. But ultimately, it's going to come down to, by faith, I've got to put the blood on the doorpost. And say, that is how my life will be spared, by the blood of Jesus and His blood only. And this is what they did. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to honor God and bring glory to God's name. By faith. Here's one of the greatest events, in my opinion, in the Exodus of Egypt, if not in the entire Bible. A miracle by a man, just the most phenomenal thing. The parting of the Red Sea. Listen to what it says. It says in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. What's the difference between the children of Israel at this point and the Egyptians? The author of Hebrews is pointing out faith. One entered into the sea. Now, what an amazing sight. And let me say, the children of Israel at one point didn't have faith. There was only one person that had faith, and that was Moses. I think this is one of the most incredible stories in the Bible. In fact, I just want to read to you from Exodus 14, because in there, and that's where the story is taking place, in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. The children of Israel are backed up. The Pharaoh lets the children of Israel go. They leave the land, and he decides, no, what did I do? And his heart is hardened. God hardens his heart. And he charges out with the full force of his army. He's got all of his army charging after the children of Israel that are out there with sheep and kids and pregnant women. And they're traveling. And here comes the chariots. And they're backed up to the Red Sea. And in chapter 14 of the book of Exodus, it's accounted. The people say to Moses, pick it up in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the physical. Their eyes saw the physical. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them so that they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in this wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we might serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. Now listen to what Moses says, verse 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Oh, that's faith. I mean, here you have an army coming at you. The Red Sea, you couldn't defend yourself to this army no matter what. No matter if you could run, they're going to get you. And so Moses says, as the people say, what? They're accusing Moses of committing suicide. You're making all of us commit. Why did you do this to us? And we told you, and the criticism begins to Moses at this point. Look what you, in the name of God, where you've led us. Which I've heard people say to me, as I've taught them the word, and said, this is, and well, they're there, and they're afraid, and they're, I don't like this, and now look what's happened to my life because I followed the Lord. And Moses, and I love this, and he just says, stand still and basically be quiet, and you will see the salvation of God for you today. God will show up. He believed. He didn't know what God was going to do. God did. But Moses at this time had seen God's hand so often in all the plagues. God wasn't done. Moses knew that. God was God. See, he believed that God was who he says he is. And that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so Moses says to be still. And he says, the Lord, listen, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? So Moses turns to him and starts crying to him, God, what do you want me to do? Tell the children of Israel to go forth, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Moses turns after talking to the people. I want to tell you, this is what a man of faith does. He tells the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God! See, he turns and he cries out. And God says, this is what I want you to do. Lift up your staff. And I'm going to do something that's never been done. And the Red Sea, just, can you imagine? Oh, maybe some of you have seen some movies and nothing could even get close. But I mean, and they walked through where there's a wall on one side, on the right side, and on the left side, there was a wall of water, and the ground was dry. I had a cartoon picture for years. I taped it right to my desk of the parting of the Red Sea. It was out of a child's coloring book. And it was there. And it was just, and I would look at that. And I had it there because just to remind me of who my God is. And just how amazing that is. By faith. By faith, Moses didn't go, we're dead, just forget it, everyone die. No, by faith he said, you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. And by faith he picked up a stick. And he said, okay, let's see. Let's see what God's going to do now. Let's see how God's going to get us out of that. And that's a hero of faith, isn't it? An absolute hero of faith. How much more we could say of these things? Let's just finish with the last two verses. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encamped for 7 days. And again, I refer you to Joshua 6 is where this takes place, to read the story yourself. But what another crazy, phenomenal event of faith. Here's warriors. And God tells Joshua, send the men of war with their swords out in front. Send the priests with their arcs, with the ark, and send the rear guard behind the ark. And so they march around the city. The priests blow their trumpets. They're just sitting there blowing the trumpets. Okay, now, you're men of war. And this city is fortified, huge, walled city. What kind of fools would march around a city and blow trumpets in the name that we're going to conquer this city? Men of faith. You've got to have a word from the Lord on that one. 6 days they do it, and the seventh day they go 7 times around. And now this is how God says, I'm going to knock the walls down. On the seventh day, the priests will blow the trumpets, and then I just want the people to yell. Think about it. Everyone scream now. Shout hallelujah. And God is going to... These are men of war. It'd be like telling our soldiers, you know, and they're on the front lines there in Iraq, and telling them, okay, guys, put your weapons down, get out of your tanks, and I want you to blow trumpets. And we want you to sing to the Lord. And the enemy will flee. That's the same thing. These are men of war. This is an army. I think there's a few guys out there with swords that don't know how to fight. They're men of war. This is the life they lived. God says, put down your weapons and start worshiping. And watch what I'm going to do. And you know, when the story's done, no one can say, wow, what great things Joshua's army does. I mean, what a mighty army that the Lord has done. And by faith, Joshua was that great man of faith. By faith, Joshua, it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they encamped it for 7 days. It was Joshua, church, and without a doubt, the people followed him. But there was some leader that believed in God beyond reason that went forth as he heard a clear divine commandment from the Lord. And you know, we don't need to hear all of these great divine commandments. We have them. And there's so much that we need to do today in faith. By faith, the last verse, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. By faith, she didn't perish. Let me say this in closing. By faith, you're not going to perish if you don't stand with the unbelievers, but you stand with the believers. It's by faith. If today you do not have a faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to perish. The Bible is very clear on it. You're going to eternally perish in hell. And the only hope you have is faith in the finished work of the cross, meaning faith in Jesus Christ and the work he did of dying for your sins on a cross and rising again the third day and putting your faith in. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. To cry out to him and ask him to come into your life, to repent of your sins, to turn from your sins, and to follow hard after the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by faith that you're going to be able to do that. And if you haven't made that decision of faith, you need to make that decision of faith tonight. You don't need to wait till tomorrow, till the next day, and the next day. I'm concerned that maybe there's some in our midst. Maybe they've been here in our midst for a long time. But they have not personally made a commitment to Jesus Christ. Not personally put their faith in Him. When they're not with us, they are with the world. And the world doesn't see them as anything different than the world. They're not seen as believers. Maybe today you're straddling, we say, the fence. You're kind of 1 foot into the church and 1 foot into the world. And I want to tell you, that's not faith. That's not faith. Rahab the harlot was told, if you tell about our agreement we've made with you to the spy. The spies told her, if you go out and be friend with the world on this, then our agreement ceases. Our oath is gone. You've got to fully be with us or you're against us. Jesus says either you're for Him or against Him. You're not for Him sometimes and against Him other times. You're for Him or against Him. Brothers and sisters, I plead with you tonight that if you have not turned from your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ, that you would make that decision now, that you would do it, that you would repent, and that you'd follow after God. You'd begin to submit your life to God's Word. You would submit your life to the Lord. Totally submitted to what His Word says. Whatever His Word says goes. That you'd put away the things of the world. That you would forsake your worldly friends that only pull you down. The things of this world. That you would allow Christ to change your life and to come into your life and to clean your life of all of the garbage that's in your life. And it's only Him that can do it. You can't do it. You can't just say, well, I'll clean myself and then I'll come to God. You can't do it. Only Christ can do that work. You have to come to Him and ask Him to come into your life and ask Him to help you to clean your life. Because the reality is He's not going to help you. He's going to do it. And you're just going to follow Him. And you're going to obey Him. And it's going to take faith. And you need to make that decision of faith right now. Tomorrow might be too late. You might not even make it till tomorrow. Your heart also might get harder and harder. Every time you hear this message, your heart gets harder and harder. And don't think you're okay because you're kind of there. I want to ask that you tonight make that decision. Tonight you'd repent. Tonight you get right with God. Anyone that's truly born again in here tonight has had a night like that or a day like that and has turned to the Lord and has truly repented of their sins. I ask that you do that. I want to call up the worship team right now and we're just going to pray and ask God to save those that aren't saved. Father, we just ask God right now that you would save, Lord. You would save, God, those that aren't saved. And Lord, you know those that have the seal of the Spirit upon them right now. And I believe, God, they know. They know who they are. They know where they are. And Lord, we just ask. We just ask, Lord, that you would save. That you would do your work. That you'd pour out your Spirit. God, I pray that if there's anyone here tonight, that they would make that commitment, that they would turn from their sins, and they, Lord, would get right with you. God, we just commit that to you. It's in your hands. Pray you would bless the believers tonight as they worship. And Lord, I pray you would just bless as we break bread together and drink of the cup of the new covenant. We do it in remembrance of that great work you did for us, and we just renew our faith. And God, examine our lives and allow you to cleanse them. We just thank you, Lord. And just praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.